as one who has been entrusted with the onerous responsibilities of guiding our young republic through these difficult times, I must confess that it is always a source of deep pleasure and encouragement to me to receive assurances of the support of the people and their continuing determination to persevere until complete victory is achieved.
Oh, hello everyone, you're welcome to another edition of my podcast, the Biafra Fire Podcast. I can be contacted on +614 690 59521, and you can also reach me on WhatsApp through that number. That's +614 690 59521. My email is juxtix@hotmail.com. The two X's are X as in xylophone. Buhari is in the news, and rightly so, because he's the president of Nigeria, as we all know. And sometimes I do wonder, what's the outlook for Nigeria as a nation, for Nigeria as a supposed economic powerhouse, the economic powerhouse of Africa? What's the outlook? Now, the outlook is very dire, I must tell you. It's not very encouraging. But then again, when we have a look at the character of this president, they say that past behavior is not necessarily an indicator of upcoming behaviors, but generally I think it's a rough guide. Now, what is the character of this president? Number one, President Buhari is a pedophile. He is a pedophile, no matter how loosely you describe that term. Now, a pedophile is someone who has sexual relations with a child or someone under the age of consent. Buhari, this is not even an allegation. This has nothing to do with pro-Biafra rhetoric. Buhari married his wife when Aisha Buhari, he married her when she was 11. This is a fact that everyone knows. That's classic pedophilia. And Buhari was a military dictator. He was in the army when the war broke out, and he engineered the massacre of Biafrans, the terrible massacre. He was the powerhouse that engineered it. And this is a man that has also repeatedly shown bias. He's shown himself to be tribalistic. What hope does Nigeria have under a man like this? Now, we in Biafra, what we have come to understand is there is no hope. It's like being led by a blind person. This guy does not understand what human rights means. He doesn't understand the place of women in the 21st century. He doesn't understand what it means to be civilized. He doesn't understand what it means to be a civilian. So I'm not surprised when he does the things he does, because when you have a look at his character, you can predict what he's going to do. Well, the whole Abaribe issue is in the news. He's arrested Abaribe through the DSS, accusing him of multiple crimes, failing to produce Nnamdi Kanu. If you can recall, Senator Abaribe was the person that took Nnamdi Kanu on bail. And I'll have a bit to say about that later in the podcast. The news coming out of Biafra, the so-called illegal elephantiasis prevention exercise has been announced through churches in Biafra land. Now, what this is all about is just the fact that the government apparently used the churches to announce that there will be an ongoing elephantiasis. I think elephantiasis is a disease where your legs and arms are massively swollen. So the government is trying to have an initiative or to run a program where they immunize the children and all the rest of it. But the problem is trust. Now, people in Biafra land do not trust the Nigerian federal government. So whatever their intention is, even if it is a good intention, people just don't trust them. People don't feel comfortable letting the Nigerian government inject anything into their children. So it cost another panic, and people are going, it's all over the internet, and people are saying that, no, whatever it is, we don't need your immunization. Our kids are fine the way they are. And this just shows you the level of mistrust. How can a society function like that? How can Nigeria function when people do not trust the government to immunize their children? When people actually think that the government is going to poison their children? How in the world can a country like that function? It's impossible. And on the whole Senator Abaribe issue, well, the senator was arrested because he blew the whistle on Buhari's attempt to add 30 billion naira extra to a budget that has already been passed. If you can recall, last month, Senator Abaribe stood up in the chamber and he condemned Buhari for trying to sneak in an extra $30 billion into a budget that has already been passed. This is the level of impunity. This is the level of impunity that is obtainable in Nigeria. And how does this guy respond? He's arrested him and he's making it look as if it's because Nnamdi Kanu jumped bail and that's why he's arresting him. And I'll have more to talk about that. But generally, this guy took Nnamdi Kanu on bail and promised to produce him at a set date. Now, the Nigerian army went to Nnamdi Kanu's compound, guns blazing, and shot everybody there to death. Nnamdi Kanu is missing, and so is his father, his father and his mother, who I might add, royalty, because his dad is a king of the town where he's from. So, how do you expect Senator Abaribe to produce a guy that he shot in for bail when you went to the guy's house and shot up everything? Just to march in and just turn the whole thing into a military operation like it was a war. You shot everybody to death. Over 40 people died. And you are telling him to produce Nnamdi Kanu. And because obviously he cannot produce him, he doesn't know where he is. Nnamdi Kanu might have been running for his life. Who knows? How you respond is to arrest him on that charge. But the problem is, we know what he's doing. We know it is the issue of 30 billion naira that he's been trying to sneak into the budget so that he will use to campaign. The impunity. These things are not obtainable in the Western world. You cannot, the budget is sacrosanct. Months before the budget is announced, people are already anticipating what is in the budget for me. What does it say? Who is going to gain? Who is going to lose? And there is no way that once that budget is passed, you try to sneak in any amount. No matter how token, a whole 30 billion naira, that is what Buhari is trying to sneak into the budget. And this Abaribe guy tried to call him out and he's been arrested for his efforts. What a shame. Osinbajo, the vice president of Nigeria, is saying that he supports restructuring Nigeria. Restructuring Nigeria is bullshit. How can you restructure something that has no structure? The Igbo man does not love the Yoruba man. The Yoruba man does not love the Hausa man. The Hausa man does not love the Warebo man. The Ware man does not love the Shekiri. There is no unity. There is this issue of restructure. Return Nigeria to the pre-colonial borders. We just take it to the pre-colonial borders. Return everything the way it was before colonization. Restructuring is never going to work. And of course, they are not serious. They are just saying it to pacify the whole Biafra movement. We know that they are not serious. A victim of a herdsman attack in Teje has been buried. Herdsmen are all in the news, and of course they are in the east. They are now in the heartland of the Igbo land. Nteje, well, it doesn't get any more Igbotic than Nteje. Nteje is a village at the heart of Biafra land. So when we have Fulani Muslim herdsmen attacking people in Nteje, I think our people should wake up and see that this war, this confrontation is being brought to our doorstep, and we have to take action. We have to take the necessary precautionary action so that this doesn't escalate. In the news from Africa section, a grenade attack killed one and wounded scores at a rally by Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed on Saturday, in what he said was an attempt to divide the nation just 2 months after he took office. President Emmerson Mnangagwa escaped injury in an explosion at a political rally on Saturday and vowed that the cowardly act will not derail Zimbabwe's first election since the ouster of former strongman Robert Mugabe. Spanish coast guards rescued about 600 migrants trying to make the perilous crossing from Africa, authorities said on Saturday. While off the coast of Libya, coast guards recovered bodies of 5 migrants and picked up 185 survivors. This story, it's just the bad stories never end. People dying at sea. People seeking to get away from this mess, this monstrosity called Africa. People seeking to make a better life for themselves. But then again, it's not the solution. The solution lies in just, as we have realized in Biafra land, in carving out a space on earth for yourself, in carving out a homeland that you would dedicate to building with all your heart, all your strength, and everything you have. That is the solution. According to the US, it has imposed visa bans on several senior officials in the Democratic Republic of Congo for corruption tied to the country's electoral process, to send a strong signal about the need for a peaceful transfer of power. I don't see how that solves any problem. Preventing a few people from coming to the US, they will just go to another country. I don't see. The problem is these people should be jailed. If the United States wants to do something, go into that country, the Democratic Republic of Congo, locate people that are actually committed to human rights, support them and let them round up all these thieves and put them in jail. That's the way. Banning them from going to the US doesn't do anything. They'll go to Europe. Same stuff. Well, in the Nigerian nonsense in focus section, I want to talk a bit about the implication of Biafrans participating as part of Nigeria's World Cup team. I wonder, should politics, self-determination, and sports be kept apart? I don't know. What do you think about this? Well, I would think that if these footballers really understood that Nigeria as a country is a sham, Nigeria is an aspired country, if they understand that Nigeria is a country founded on blood, founded on exploitation, and that is a country that is kept together by brute force, I don't think they should be participating in the World Cup, which, by the way, they are never going to win, mark my words. There's been instances of sportsmen using sports to make political statements or statements about self-determination. Many, I remember this black guy, was it at the Olympics, that did the Black Power Salute? That was way before political correctness became fashionable. There was an outcry against him, but like, he was on the right side of history. This football, well, of course, the problem we have is that we don't know history. We don't understand where we are coming from. We don't know where we are headed. If these footballers actually understood the implication of siding with the monstrosity and representing that monstrosity called Nigeria on the global stage, I think they will recuse themselves from such obligations. But they do not understand. They just do not understand. And I feel sorry for them. I do feel sorry for them. The quote for the day is this, and I quote, "Living is a process of developing oneself. Without experiencing pain from disconcerting periods of our lives, we will be a different person, perhaps a lesser person." That's from Kilroy J, old star, Dead Toad Scrolls. That's from the book called Dead Toad Scrolls. I'll see you next time. Bye.